Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
The following includes conversation relating to cryptocurrency. The information provided and discussed is strictly for educational and informational purposes only. Any use of any information is done so at your own risk. DV Radio LLC, as well as the hosts and guests of the show, take no responsibility if you wish to use any of the information in your daily life. Again, the topics discussed are strictly for informational and educational purposes only.
I am Chris, the CEO.
My name is Paul, I'm the COO.
I am Chris, a.k.a. Ludacris, the Chief Technical Officer.
My name is Zach. I'm the Chief Marketing Officer, better known as the WEN Marketing Officer, because it never gets done, right?
Affinity Innovations. Hour-long show, we will talk about Affinity, crypto in general, DeFi, blockchain technology, and just talk about anything, whatever the hell we feel like talking about.
Get to know us at a little more personal level.
Babbling nonsense.
Is there any cursing rules or anything?
No, you say whatever the fuck you want.
I think they'd be more worried if you didn't curse.
Love these guys.
Show me the money!
Hey, what's going on, everybody? And welcome to Affinity Protocol right here live on WDVRDVRadio.net and on Twitch. It is Tuesday night, June 20th. Summer's, I guess, here, right? It's technically another couple days, if I'm not mistaken, but fuck it, it's here.
It's tomorrow.
Is it? Yeah, 21st, right? Yeah. My daughter actually just asked me that a couple minutes ago. When does summer officially start?
You know how I remember that? My wedding anniversary.
Oh, shit. Is it really?
So the day you lost everything, huh?
I mean, I don't think my wife listened to this podcast, but just to be safe, I ain't going to say nothing.
Send it a link.
You would, too.
I would. Nah, that's good. That's good stuff.
Would.
Zach. Zach, you here with us?
Oh, say what? No, I was muted. I was here.
Oh. I don't know if it's just lagged out for me now. You still got the starting soon screen up.
That makes sense. That makes sense. No one there.
How's y'all's Father's Day?
I'm gonna let y'all go first.
I didn't do shit, but it was great. But that's why it was great, because I didn't do shit. So,
man, you never do shit.
I mean, you ain't wrong on that one.
Got him,
bro. I slept until 9 o'clock.
Oh damn, that is that a record?
I mean, not record, because I'm old and used to be, you know, young and carefree.
A record with a child.
Probably. I mean, after 4 years, man, you don't keep track of that kind of stuff anymore. But it might be. I mean, because it was a solid 8:52. When I remember looking at my phone and being like, fuck me, I got to sleep in.
This was good.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I mean, I didn't have to do a whole lot except for, run a few errands. Paul, I know you ran an errand too, did you not?
I went grocery shopping.
Yeah, I remember you saying that you had to go pick something up.
Well, so I had to go grocery shopping a second time. My wife decided that Father's Day was the best day to buy something on Facebook Marketplace, but because she has social anxiety and won't go pick it up herself, I had to go pick it up. So I did that too.
That's what it was, yeah. I remember you saying that. Yeah. So, yeah, I had to run a few errands too, and, wife's still recovering. I'm going to say she's milking it a little bit, but, you know, it is what it is. so I had to go run around doing that.
I'm a teller.
You tell her. I told her. Tell her she's milking it. Hey, man, I'll tell you what. That time when I was in the hospital with the lung thing, dude, she tried to have me out of bed in like 2 days. She's like, y'all, say you're good. You're good.
You better throw that right back at her.
That's what I do, man. But out of 2 days, man, she's like, you're okay. Like, get out of here. But, yeah, so I didn't run errands, do that kind of stuff. And then, so I'm talking to my kids and, you know, me being me, I'm like, I don't really care about like getting stuff, but you know, I kind of pressure them into making me something. I'm like, hey, you don't have to buy me nothing. Like, you make me something. I said, that'd be cool. So
make me a fucking breakfast bread.
Right. Well, my youngest, 13, she made me a nice little like card and note and all that. It was nice. It was nice for her. No, my son didn't make me shit. I mean, he's 18, but he didn't make me shit. So I'm like, I'm sitting at the table.
Pops, I remember that graduation party you threw me, but guess what, man? Fuck you.
I know, right? So I'm sitting at the table, and again, me being me, so I'm like, hey, all right, you all want to play this game? So I look at everybody at the table, and I'm like, all right, we're going to go around this table, and everybody's going to tell me what they appreciate about me, what you like about me.
Oh, my God.
So I want to hear from everybody. You know what I got? So not so nice shit.
That's what I was going to say, you probably got a, nah, I appreciate it. You shut the fuck up.
That's what happens. You don't buy phones for your kids.
Right? Stuart's saying we got no sound. I don't know if it's just Stuart or... No sound. That would be on...
No sound.
Spudnik's saying it as well. So we got no sound.
Interesting. 1 second.
Hey, so I
fuck that.
You ain't wrong. Should be fixed now.
All right. Maybe. Hopefully, we got sound now on Twitch. Let me know if you don't. So if you just missed a single, I went around the table. I said, "Hey, you'll tell me what you like." And yeah, it wasn't like obviously they're not going to like cuss at me or whatever, but it was not being so nice. But I suppose I asked for it. I knew what I was going to get.
Yeah, you didn't ask for it at that point. Come on, man.
It was pretty funny. But whatever. It was uneventful, but in a good way for the most part, my Father's Day. So I appreciate them. Hopefully they appreciate me, even if they don't say it.
They will in 20 years.
Yep. Maybe.
Maybe, right.
Maybe.
Man, just what you should do one day, right? Because you have a morning like that where they like, they don't take it seriously what they appreciate about you. Man, I swear to God, you're going to have the best Father's Day in the world. All you got to do is come home with a pack of Depends and just straight up, just, you know, suck it up one time for the pride and just shit yourself and be like, you got to change me because get ready for this when I get old, motherfucker. You're going to learn to appreciate me.
That's different, but yeah.
Just taking it to new levels.
All of a sudden, they're going to appreciate when you don't come home with Depends. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know, man. You met my kids.
I have.
Ain't helping.
I can imagine like, exactly what your son would do, too. He would just stare at you and then just turn around and walk away. That's all he would do.
Be like, good luck with that one.
He wouldn't say anything. He would just look at you and then like walk away and like hop on the laptop you got him for graduation, and that'd be it.
Yep.
Well, you got a whole laptop?
Yeah, man.
Okay.
I'm a laptop. Google
Chromebook?
No, it was just actually a nice laptop, and he has taken extra good care of that thing too, man.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah,
I could have seen that going one of two ways. Oh, the way it's going, or the way that me and you are both thinking.
Oh yeah. But I think I instilled enough fear in him that, you know, if he doesn't take care of it, that this is going to be the last computer or any kind of device or electronic that I ever pay for out of my pocket.
Oh, yeah.
So you better take care of it. And he does. He treats that thing like it's made out of glass.
You're lucky because he can just be like, fuck you, I'm 18. Now I do what I want.
Yep.
And see, Chris be like, you 18. The door's right there, motherfucker.
All right, Zach. Now it seems like you have volume issues.
What?
Turn up the volume.
It's damn near maxed up.
Oh,
I got you, though.
Yeah. So, and so another thing I did too is, that we're moving away from, I use a app or, you know, software called MyCircle. It's kind of integrated into my Netgear router. Sucks.
Yep.
It's very, very limited. And over time, it seems like it actually does less and less. Like some of the features just stop working. So I just decided to do some more research. And, you know, because, again, the cell phone thing, getting the kids worked into cell phones and all that, I want to have more protection and monitoring. So I found something called Bark. And I'm in a 7-day trial right now.
Like a dog. Like tree bark or like woof?
Like woof, but it has a picture of a dog on the thing, but it's Bark, right? And as you can imagine, because it alerts. That's what it does a lot of alerting if certain things happen or whatever. So I signed up for that. They actually send you a device to put in line with your network, and, you know, it's very customizable. So I'm looking forward to that.
How much you paying?
For both, because it covers mobile devices, even when they're outside of your network, and it covers inside of network activity. It's, you can either pay monthly and it works out to be $19 a month, or if you pay yearly, it's $150 a year. And yeah, that includes the hardware.
I could probably could have found something for free.
Oh, I'm sure I could have. It's just, do I really want to put in the time to really, because that's just time consuming to set up.
Man, you're cheap.
I am. But I'm also, time is money, my friend. So if I can save a little
money.
Money
is money, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, whatever. I'm going to check it out. But I'm a big proponent of safety, internet safety, and that kind of shit, especially when it comes to my kids, man. Crazy world we live in. So I do what I got to do. Hey, Bob. You know? Anyway, what else you guys got going on?
Nothing.
Well, I mean, I kind of just want to hop straight into it. You see what happened to Binance?
Yeah, man. You think I live under a rock?
Then tell me what happened with Binance.
It's about recently where they actually gave them permission to continue operating without freezing assets. And
Yeah. That's good news.
Yeah, it is.
He also had Gary Gensler potentially getting sued.
That was probably the best news out of all of it.
Hopefully getting fired, but we'll see if Congress actually acts, which they probably won't. But
I don't know. Those senators that filed to remove Gary Gensler are pretty pissed.
Yeah, they are.
We got to think they're losing money too.
Well, yeah, I guess depending on who's fucking around in the markets. But speaking of Gary and the SEC, we were just talking about pre-show with BlackRock filing for ETF for Bitcoin. What do you think of that?
They copied us.
A couple takes on it, and that couple takes is that I think, obviously, as we always talk, well, mass adoption wise, pretty important. But then, you know, here comes the money. Here comes the possible regulation that we weren't waiting on, that we, you know, weren't really looking forward to, you know, but kind of inevitable at this point.
Well, I think it's crazy that, like, I think there was 5 or 6 filings for Bitcoin ETFs that were rejected. And then right on the heels of the SEC going after Binance and everybody else, BlackRock files. Like, it's going to be really interesting to see how that works out. Because if they approve it, does that not look like double standards for big money? I mean, BlackRock's obviously the biggest financial institution in the U.S., if not, you know, one of the biggest in the world, especially when it comes to, you know, political donations and everything. They have a huge hand in a lot of shit. real shady stuff, too, but... But you're right. It's a double-edged sword. And unfortunately, the sharpest blade is going to be on the shady side of it. But, you know, on one end, it it kind of opens the doors and puts a little bit more of a quote unquote legitimate spotlight on crypto from people that really don't know what BlackRock is all about behind the scenes. I used to watch BlackRock go in and acquire and sync companies, or sync them usually first and then acquire them and then just rip them apart all the time for many, many years in the stock market, man. Every time you'd see, you'd be watching a stock and you could watch the institutional investors like collecting and just accumulating shares. And anytime you seen one of them was BlackRock, it would be like short term. You'd be like, all right, I'll make some money, but you better get the hell out because chances are they are going to gut that company. Big pieces of shit.
So, yeah, there'll be more to come.
Yep. And that's where I'm kind of curious on is why. Like, obviously it's for money, but on what end? Is BlackRock looking to get in on the long side of things, or are they looking to create an ETF so they can get trap retailers and then BlackRock themselves can short the shit out of it while they manipulate the market? That's one of the biggest concerns I have. How are they going to manipulate the Bitcoin market, which obviously manipulates the entire market, by doing something like this?
I think that kind of comes with it, fortunately, if they haven't been doing it already.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, because they're not doing the shit for free and they're not doing it to look good. The good graces of everybody out there not doing the CTF.
Oh, they're not?
No, man.
The fuck?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I hope that's the case that they're doing. I mean, best case scenario, that if they do some shady shit, that in the end they flip it and they let it go long, make some money on that side. Because that's a big play in the stock markets with, you know, creating news or whatever it is, buying articles, paying people off to talk shit about the stock market or certain stocks, and then they short it and then they flip it and let it go long. That happens all the time, that kind of manipulation. So hey, maybe they'll do that.
It's
gonna be shady.
Sorry, just kids close in it.
Well, of course they are. They're gonna make money.
Yep, terrible situation. But we'll see how it goes. That leads us into a couple other items, right? With same type of thing with all these financial institutions that are trying to, you know, either jump in or dip their toe into the crypto market for better or worse. We don't know. We'll find out what's going on. But probably the next biggest story in all of crypto right now with that is the EDX exchange that just made news, just went live. And, you know, that's going to be crazy and interesting to watch play out too. They're backed by, Charles Schwab, Fidelity, Citadel Securities, which are massive players in the equity markets in the financial sector as well. Yeah, this one's going to be crazy to watch because apparently they announced this before the collapse of FTX. EDX announced that they were, you know, doing this and building this before the collapse of FTX. So, you know, whether or not there's behind the scenes shit going on, and people know about certain things because we all know the big players that were involved in FTX, whether they were promoters or recipients of donations or whatever it was. There's a lot of players in FTX. And then it collapses 2 months after EDX is announced and got Schwab and Fidelity and stuff involved. Yeah.
What's the thing? FTX didn't fit the bill.
kind of conspiracy theorist, but
kind of. That is a conspiracy theory.
Yep.
I mean, yes, but then looking at the fucking black and white here, I mean, the SEC pushes out all other exchanges, and then randomly, yes, they stealth launch an exchange through one of the biggest securities, if not the biggest security. Actually, probably is the biggest security next to fucking security manager, I should say, next to BlackRock.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Kind
of fucking weird.
Exactly. Isn't that what Binance is getting their balls busted about?
Yeah.
Right? The same shit. And the excuse they're using is because they're doing Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin, and Bitcoin Cash, that those have not been labeled as securities under the SEC. Which is funny, because if you had paid attention to the way Gary has been talking in all these hearings and shit, he specifically has been saying that Bitcoin, I think he might have always dodging it with Ethereum, but he was specifically saying Bitcoin was not a security.
Yeah.
Coincidence? I don't know.
I mean, it's Gary, so either he's being a complete dumbass or he's being an even bigger dumbass by basically openly saying that he's favoring something.
Yeah. Yeah.
More apt to think of the big dumbass.
It could be both. It likely is both. Two other pieces to that, because they are calling it a non-custodial exchange, right? Where the only part of that definition it actually does fit is the fact that they, as an entity, will not be controlling individuals' funds, right? That doesn't mean that somebody else won't be and some other centralized entity won't be. It just means that they will not be the custodians of the trades and the funds. Meaning the company behind EDX themselves. But what they state is that there will be other institutions that will be initializing and conducting the trades.
That don't seem shady.
Yeah, that is essentially what happens on a lot of most exchanges or the equity markets, right? I know if you look at some of the big ones like Schwab and TD, they do have their own brokers in-house and they do conduct trades. But as far as the stock market itself goes, and again, we were just talking about this, I brought a discussion on it with the market makers in the stock market. They're basically just jumping right to that, right? So they'll have the exchange, which will be the EDX, and then it'll go right to the market makers, which are the other institutions. Now, market makers right now, what we know of in the decentralized world are things like PancakeSwap and Uniswap, where the market making is done by automation through contracts and liquidity pools and all that. When you're looking at the way market making happens when institutions are involved, some of it is automated. You know, you have a lot of automation involved and things like that, but there are people behind it that allow trades to happen the way they want trades to happen. And this is where shit gets shady, because I guarantee they're going to do it very similar to the way they do market making in the stock market, where they make tons of fucking money. And really what they do is, like, let's say I'm a big institution or I'm an individual that has a lot of money and I want to buy a lot of Bitcoin, right? And I go to EDX through their market makers and I say, hey, I got $10 million that I want to buy Bitcoin. So what they'll do is they'll take that money and they'll go to their market makers, and a lot of times they'll crush the market by putting out bad news or whatever they need to do, or keep the market suppressed So they can buy up all that Bitcoin for a cheaper price for this customer while they take their cut and they do whatever they're doing. And then they'll buy it off of everybody else, right? Because all the retail people out there like you and I that are selling because the market's going bad or whatever, they'll buy up all that shit. And then once they fill their order, then they'll let the market go. That person or those entities make money because now the market's going up. All the retail people that they shook out of the market to fill these big orders now got screwed. They're making money, and then they'll go ahead and do what they're going to do as far as selling it or whatever. That's how that shit works, and that is how it's going to work in this. I can almost guarantee it. It's fucked up.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. But in any market making situation when an institution's involved, that's how it works. They're filling orders. You put in, that's why when you're ever trading on any of these platforms, that's why they always tell you never do market orders. Because a market order is basically telling the market manager, just fill my order whenever you can at whatever price. But just do it whenever it can get done. I just want to make sure that it's bought or sold. And they do flag those and rack and stack them, and they will screw you. They'll make sure that you are put at the bottom of the list or the top of the list, depending on what it is, to flip your investment and make money for the people that is viable for. The 1%, so to speak.
Pretty sickening, and that's why I got out of the financial market pretty quickly. I was like, my biggest turning point was just realizing that nothing, not a single thing is actually ran by us. Nothing. Nope. There's not one thing in our financial market that is our like base financial market that is ran by us. Quite disgusting, actually.
Absolutely. And that's kind of where the problem on this, one of the problems on this lies, because you can look at it again, just like the BlackRock ETF, right? It's going to bring attention. People that don't give a shit about the rich getting richer and all that other stuff, they're not going to care. And it'll bring attention and some viability to crypto and legitimacy, if you can call it that. But to everybody else, it's a bad thing. It's a really bad thing because of the manipulation that is going to happen. It'll make it a little bit more predictable as things fall in line because it, like how we do technical trading and all that, those charts and everything are going to become much more predictable because they're going to utilize them in a big, big way. But it really is. It's going to start turning Bitcoin and the crypto markets more into the stock market, which is not what we want.
DeFi all the way.
Yeah, man. Amen to that.
I'll call that other nonsense.
Chris, what you got on this? You've been quiet over there. In no way, you don't have an opinion.
Man, I've been working.
But yeah, why can I give me your opinion?
I mean, the whole thing is just suspicious to me, and I'm not really a big banker type of a guy. Fun fact, BlackRock owns most of the, the small doctor offices that you see around town. Really? BlackRock actually owns most of them.
Say doctor's office?
Yep.
No shit.
Yep. I was having this conversation with, how I went, flew out to Texas for that work meeting. We were just discussing BlackRock and whatnot. Yep. They own a majority of those small offices, small, hardware stores, stuff like that. Ace Hardware, for example, is one of the only ones that aren't owned by BlackRock or one of those other big, organizations. BlackRock has, in those big ones, have a lot of their hands in a lot of things, which is pretty scary because you think you're trying to get away or you're getting away, but you're still going somewhere using something that's owned.
Yeah.
Like Paul says, it's a conspiracy thing. I don't think it's a conspiracy. It's just factual.
Yeah. To what degree is really where the, again, it's loosely saying conspiracy, right? Because a lot of it, if not all of it, is true, but it's where does it truly end or where does it begin with the corruption that's happening throughout all of these entities and people that are involved? Otherwise, why would they do it? None of these entities and corporations are getting involved because of the technology or because they believe in decentralized currency. Not a single one.
They just want money.
Exactly. Their motivation is 100% about money, whether that means them making and the people that are associated with them making money, or to ensure that those of us that are trying to make more money and become more financially independent and care about the technology are unsuccessful in doing that. And that is really messed up to think about, but it is also very, very true. These institutions do not want anybody outside of their circle or whoever they deem as the worthy individuals in this country and in this world to make money. They want to make sure that you do not have the opportunity to make money.
Man, is that why I hadn't hit the Powerball yet?
That is exactly why.
Damn.
Yep.
I mean, you can see on the stock exchange too. Like, do you think they really care about the technology Alphabet's putting out or Meta's putting out? No. They just care about the potential funds that they can get from those organizations.
Exactly. It's all manipulation. That's why earnings reports, cool. That's why sometimes you look at an earning report and you're like, oh man, they smashed earnings. And the thing might rise for the day or something. But after that, it's gone back down. Not always, but it's 50-50 or maybe a little bit more. And you're like, why? Isn't that what a stock should be derived by? Like, it should be a few, technicals on the company. It should be earnings reports, the strength of the leadership, the products they're putting out, and their future plans. And all of those things could be on point, and the damn thing's getting crushed because the powers that be decide, hey, there's more money in this if we just crush it.
I mean, that's why AMC and GME and BBY were so big, because it was kind of like the middle finger to hedge funds and big organizations that are basically playing against institutional investors. Not institutional investors, but the small investors.
Yeah, retail investors.
Yeah, retail investors. Thank you. And it was fun seeing hedge funders lose their money against retail investors.
Yeah, that's always good. And that's the one way to get them is in those, in the shorts, man. If they get over-levered. That's the best way to get them.
That's what this whole thing is, man. It's payback for fucking GameStop and the big man.
Yeah, coming after your crypto.
So you guys want to fuck on me? Got it.
Yeah, man. So this is the beginning of, we talk about institutions coming into crypto and when that happens and how that happens. This is kind of the beginning of it, and it's going to be good and bad, depending on which way you look at it. Good for advertising, I suppose, but bad for manipulation and for what it's supposed to be and what we've always worked towards all these years to make it. Institutions are going to come fuck that up. Fuck it up. One other piece to this that I kind of dug out was that it is not a typical exchange. So with EDX, it's not like Binance or Coinbase or, FTX and Voyager and all those. You can't go to a website. There's no like website to go trade on and sign up for. And it's only done through APIs and only allowed to certain financial institutions. So,
this looks like the old days. You got to call in and be like, yo, I want to place an order for 72 Bitcoin. Okay, thank you. And then hang up the phone. I'm like, what the fuck?
I'm getting them pink sheets, dog.
Yep. So, yeah, that's what they're doing. And what's going to happen is, and I'll just read this on right here. It says EDX also has a plan to launch a clearinghouse business this year to facilitate the settlement process, but will keep customer assets held at third party banks and crypto custodian.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Banks still control your money.
Yep.
Yep.
And crypto custodians. So whoever, again, they can call it non-custodial all they want, but somebody's custodian that money, and it ain't you. I don't know. When I read that piece about the APIs. So it even says, right, ADX differentiates itself from traditional crypto exchanges by not directly catering to retail investors, as it focuses on institutional traders. Additionally, trading access via API and does not offer a front end or trading graphical user interface. The fact that they are going to cater to institutional traders,
I should tell you everything you need to know right there.
They are funded by massive institutions catering to institutional investors.
Fuck the little man. We getting ours. That should tell you everything you need to know with that one sentence.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yep. So, anybody that was out there thinking, oh, EDX, you know, maybe we can use them if Binance or whatever. Nope. It is not for you. Not for you. And that goes back to what we were just saying. Institutions, look out for institutions and how they can make each other money and how they can screw you out of yours. It is a well-known fact, because if you look at it, even going back to, we'll talk a little bit about the equity market again. You go back to stocks. When you're trading stocks and those order books have to get filled, they got to get filled from somewhere. And there's only two ways they get filled. They get filled from other people selling their shares, or if the company is releasing more shares out into the market, right? So if the company itself wants to dilute a little bit, they want to issue more shares, they can sell them directly. They can put them out to the exchanges, and the exchanges can sell them using the market makers to other investors. And then they get the money. The company gets the money directly. Or again, if there's no shares of, you know, out there from the company directly, they'll buy from you or I. That's why they're always looking to scare you in the markets. That's why once this stuff starts happening, don't be surprised for a short time that there's lots of bad news put out. So let's say ADX is up now, right? They're live now. If the ETF gets signed off on through BlackRock, do not be surprised if all of a sudden you just start seeing a slew of terrible, awful shit come out about crypto. And you're like, wait a second, why would they want to do that? Right? They just went live. They're putting their faith in the market. They put their money and invested in these products and these companies. Why would they want to, destroy the image? Because that's what they do in these markets. And then they shake everybody out, they make everybody scared, they buy up all your shit, and then they do what they want to do. They're going to do it.
It's almost like you better
run the block a few times. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're right. Lessons learned. You learn from mistakes, or you learn from experience. And I have. I've been shaken out in the stock market a few times. You know, my earlier trading, a little bit here and there in individuals, but man, there's been times, yeah, they make doom and gloom. They preach all that shit and things are crashing. You get shaken out. And then next thing you know, you turn around a couple days later, a week later, The market's up 25%. You like, son of a bitch.
You ain't wrong.
Yep.
It's calling. That's when you got, kid.
Yep. And it happens all the time. That's why it's, you know, they kind of taken some of those terms and brought them over to, you know, crypto, and it doesn't work the same, but still the mentality is kind of the same. Even the technical analysis doesn't really quite work the same, again, because we don't have the same type of institutional influence yet on these markets to really have the technicals track as well as they do in the stock market. But the other piece is the, you know, the mindset of, you know, we hear paper hands and diamond hands and all that. Obviously that you don't really hear that term in the stock market, but there is that mindset of not getting shaken out of your investment due to, you know, paid bad news or whatever it is. That's where that mindset came from. The problem is, and a lot of times it doesn't correlate right to crypto, and then you end up, you know, sitting on some meme coin or some rug pull because of whatever. So the underlying factor here is it's going to come in. Things are going to start looking a little bit more like the markets. They're going to be manipulated more. I guess the silver lining would be more attention, more marketing, more institutional money coming in. And if you know what you're doing and you play your cards right and you're smart with your trades, smart with your investments, it should make things a little more predictable. Should.
So what you're saying is you ain't getting nothing out of this. Because you just got bad luck.
True.
That's basically all I'm hearing.
I'm just going to sit on my affinity and my stable coins and be happy with myself. Drop something. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, to a point, predictability is good, but. And that's why, you know, if you believe in something and you have assets that you want, that's why people always say, hey, don't get scared when things trade down. Just dollar cost average. Obviously, that doesn't work for everything. And this is not advice, but this is why you hear it. Because this is what they talk about is market manipulation creates opportunity. Anytime you hear any smart or seasoned investor talk, they always talk about volatility. We like to associate volatility as a bad thing, right? Because we're looking at it more in the short term, or actually, I shouldn't say short term because they are too. But we're looking at it like, oh shit, it makes your head spin. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going on. A seasoned investor loves volatility. Volatility creates opportunities for wealth because you can trade that volatility if you know what you're doing. That's why. So they like to create volatility. That was your lesson for today.
Thanks. I think we needed that.
It does, man. Well, volatility is a good thing for traders if you know what you're doing. Think about it. How can you make money trading if the price is not moving up and down? You can't. You can't.
It's impossible.
I mean, I suppose in when you're talking crypto, especially with like Affinity, as long as the volume's there, it doesn't matter necessarily if it's going up or down. It's just the volume. But, you know, with different assets, that volume isn't going to help as much as price action. But damn, that was good. That was a lot of good conversation.
Yeah, thanks for that lesson, nerd.
Nerd.
Yeah, we're all fucking bored.
That sucks. Yeah, nerd. Why, man? Anytime you want to bring up something more interesting, you feel free. Feel free. Like talking to a goddamn graveyard around here.
I could spend an entire hour-long podcast talking about something more interesting than that.
Hey, babe.
I've taken better shits that are more interesting.
Ah, you know what? You know what? I'm gonna expect next Tuesday, or not next Tuesday, but next Fitty Protocol. I expect all these ideas to come flowing. So we're going, hey man, what you want to talk about this week? Man, there better be no shortage of ideas. There better be so many ideas we don't have to think about what's going to be on the next 12 Affinity Protocols with all this shit talking, diarrhea of the mouth.
Well, do we want to talk about the good news of our trip that we're planning, or?
Sure.
Not yet.
I mean, so, yeah, I mean, we could, only 16 people in there. We got Affinity Friday coming in a few days.
Well, go ahead and tell them.
Boss man. Ahead, man. I talked a lot.
Yeah, but you're better at it.
I need a breath.
Oh, Jesus. You need to work out. That's what you need to do.
You also need a chicken stick. Well, go away during hurricane season.
Well, we talked about it a while ago as something that we wanted to do for, you know, professional growth, meeting people in the industry and stuff like that. So we've actually... we've priced it out, we've budgeted it out, and we're actually going to be making a trip to DEF CON 31 in Vegas this August.
Yeah, buddy.
So we can go learn lots of new cybersecurity stuff. It looks like the last DEF CON they actually had a decent amount of talks about crypto and blockchain security. They even have a whole village dedicated to it this go around, according to the calendar that I was looking at. So...
It's okay. I'll
just go fuck myself. Okay. Oh. Yeah, Paul.
But the decision was made for me and the Chris's to go. I guess we didn't tell Zach that he wasn't going to go because it's more technical expertise based than marketing. Thanks for setting me up for that one, Chris. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
No, like I said, I'll just fuck myself, so it's okay. It's way easier.
Can you record it, though?
I mean, I could. Not another friend.
Nope. So, just like Paul said, it should be a good opportunity from the technical side to, like, because they... You don't know much about DEF CON. They actually do a lot of hands-on stuff there, too, and some things that are outside of the box and outside of the norm. So there's a lot to be learned outside of just reading and you know, watching videos and stuff that people make mainstream, because there's a lot of things that people don't want mainstream, right? They don't want other people to know that they know certain things or for either... legality or whatever it may be. So there are things that happen there that are pretty eye opening. And especially I'm real curious to see how the stuff goes with the blockchain stuff, because, I've been there once in the past, and I've really had some experiences with traditional, computing and networking, that was like, holy shit. So to hear some of the things that people know about blockchain exploits or how they would potentially crack this, that, or the other thing and everything that way is going to be really educational and something that we can take forward with us throughout our development. So that I'm really looking forward to that. Really, really, really. With those involved in said exploits. And let me tell you, these people are brazen. Right, you're like, oh, why would they? If they're not going to do it publicly, why would they do it there? No, this is their opportunity to show off in front of their peers, because this conference is full of nothing but, a bunch of really strong hackers, wannabes. There's some undercover government officials there that usually show up too. idiots, you know, whatever. And they all have something to prove to each other and they want to show off and everything else. So they're brazen. They'll show you what they got. Good time.
Chris about to get social engineered.
I ain't doing it, man. I'm not. I get social engineered, man.
Man, I'll social engineer you.
I'm impervious. Social engineer.
All you got to do is tell this dude, hey, man, there's going to be some karaoke. And he going to show up and be like, what's up?
No, all you got to say is there's going to be some Big Macs with no Mac sauce there.
Yeah. Oh, I did have Domino's tonight. And you know those new tater tots they got?
I didn't even know that they had tater tots. Sounds gross.
Yeah, they do. All the tater tots themselves aren't bad. I mean, the whole thing wasn't too bad, but... So we got two boxes of them. One has bacon. I think it's tater tots, bacon, maybe scallions. And then it's got like this Parmesan garlic sauce on it, which I wasn't a big fan of. So next time I get it, I ain't getting the sauce. And then we got another one that was like a Philly cheesesteak one where they basically just line up tater tots flat and then they pour all this shit on it. So cheese, steak, peppers, onions, and then that one had Alfredo sauce on it. So I recommend it. It was good. Depending on if you like all those things.
I'm glad that the lava cakes, they come in a set of three now, not a set of two.
Oh yeah, do they?
Yeah. They're $6.99 now, though.
They are good though, lava crunch cakes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just some housekeeping items for one. Did some testing with, seems like Wallet Connect V2 is going a little bit more smoothly now. I was able to connect to MetaMask, Trust Wallet, and SafePal pretty smoothly recently. Like I just tested it like a couple minutes ago.
Nice.
So we'll see. As Wallet Connect V2 gets more, well, gets pushed to the wallets more, we'll see Adapt mobile app and the web application once we update to V2 on that side connect way better.
Oh shit, yeah, Trust Wallet has an update. Let's fucking go.
Yep. and then CoinGecko, for some reason, removed our token. I resubmitted that just a few minutes ago as well. Went in that. CoinMarketCap seems to be working again. So,
wait, there was a problem with CoinMarketCap?
Yeah, for some reason it wasn't tracking our price, but I just checked and it is tracking our price again.
Damn. So the question by Mike was, do your significant others ever listen to Affinity Friday or Protocol, or do you guys just disappear and talk to your internet friends? The latter, mostly.
Yeah, my wife thinks we're all gay together, so.
Yeah.
I mean, you were in the Navy, so.
That's true.
You're not wrong.
That's, my wife has never, listened to an Affinity Friday or an Affinity Protocol. The only thing that she's ever heard was when things get a little rowdy and we're either laughing or talking loud. I usually hear about it when I go upstairs and she's like, yeah, you're insane. Okay, man, I like that fun. no, that's the extent of it. And by that means, my internet friends don't really give a shit either.
I don't know if we even call you guys friends because she makes fun of me saying I don't have friends. So that's about how that goes.
And if we'll have to find you some friends, Paul.
I'm good.
We'll get you some friends out at DEF CON.
I'm good.
Promising not social engineering you.
I mean, look, there's like three things that I'm excited for this whole thing, right? Outside of DEF CON itself. One, it's been fucking years since I went to like a buffet that had all you can eat crab legs. Guarantee we find one, right?
Yeah. Easy.
Two, I haven't been to a casino in a minute. Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, be able to go play some slot machines. You know what I mean?
I guess that depends on who you're asking.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I guess I really didn't have a three. I guess my three would be a negative because I'm a pessimistic asshole.
I mean, you can go see the underground homeless shelters.
That sounds terrible.
You guys didn't hear, know about that?
No. In Vegas, they got underground homeless shelters?
Yep.
They have mole people?
That's why Vegas has no homelessness. They all live underground.
Mole people.
So you know Futurama, how they live underground?
It's
exactly like
the orphans,
that.
The orphanarium.
The mutants.
It's exactly like that.
What the hell? I do remember that park that they had out there, out behind like the Luxor. In that area, there was on that side, or was it by Caesars? I can't remember, but there was a lot of homeless in that park years and years ago.
Mike had a question. It's all sand. How do you live underground? The sewer system. I don't know the logistics behind it. I just know that people live underground.
That's my thing. We about to find out, though. I'm going to tell you what.
You can. I'm not going spelunking in them tunnels.
Let's fucking do it.
Yeah, I'm all set. I'm not trying to get traffic.
So why are you even going to bring it up then?
Man, I can bring it up. I'm just going to say something. Actually, I'm not going to say it. I'll get canceled.
We'll just send a drone down there. See what it's like. See what's going on.
Side note, speaking of trafficking, you guys heard about Harvard?
No.
Yeah, so...
I mean, I know of Harvard.
Few people at Harvard Medical Center are actually getting charged for organ/human trafficking.
Oh, I did hear about that.
Oh, shit. No, I didn't hear.
Yeah.
A lucrative business, man.
That's crazy.
Remember Charlie Candy Mountain? They stole his kidney? No? No one remembers that video? Okay, cool. Nah. Good talk, guys. Good talk. Nah.
I love that building. You seen Harvard Medical School, they're building? Love it. It's gorgeous. Right next to the children's hospital. What the hell?
By the way, the tunnels are 600 miles long.
Oh, damn.
Holy shit.
Big ass tunnel.
That was weird. Did you guys even hear me talk about the building? Because for whatever reason, my mic device switched in Discord.
No, I heard you. I just decided to ignore you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it didn't sound that interesting.
Yeah, it really didn't.
Yeah, you guys.
I was going to say something like, I'm surprised you're allowed around children's things, but you know.
Oh, man.
See, I wanted to say something about the tunnels as well, but I'll definitely get canceled for that one. I'll say it after the show, though.
Good, because I know you wouldn't leave me hanging like that.
Oh shit. Alright, well it is 9:29. Rolling towards the end of Affinity Protocol. Anybody got anything that they want to add to the end of the show here, other than, you know, whatever Chris was going to talk about when you're trying to get canceled?
If you're Chris investing into a token, make sure you sell. I'll just say that.
Damn, man. That's not good because I own a lot of Affinity.
Yeah, but you're not getting into it. You're already in that.
That's
so
that's true. Well, I continue to get into it.
Oh, great. Let me sell mine.
One for more. Oh, not too long ago. So. You're fucked, Paul. That's it, Chris. That's all. That's your all your infinite wisdom. That's all.
Yep.
All right. What about you,
Man,
Zach?
What do you mean? No, Paul. Infinite wisdom. Be glad that this guy talked for more than like three sentences.
That is true. What about you, Zach?
I got shit, man.
You got shit.
Nope.
Quote me, boy. I ain't said shit. Paul?
Nah, man.
All right, I'm with Sputnik on this one. Let's make some money off those institutional motherfuckers. That's not exactly what he said. That's how I'm saying it. All right, let them get in. They're going to try to screw us. Everybody go do some research. Try to figure out how. But on that note, I want to thank everybody for coming and listening to us ramble on, especially me for an hour. I get it. I'm boring and I'm going to talk about whatever, but it's important, man. It's important. It's educational. And it was at the request of our good friends in Telegram. So we appreciate y'all. But on that note, I do want to say another thank you to Bo and the crew at DV Radio. So go check them out. Listen to all the good things that they have going on over the weekend. Saturday nights, I believe, is Barracks Talk. Listen to them. So thanks again, Bo. Thanks everybody at DV Radio. Everybody that came out to listen. Y'all have a wonderful week. We'll see you on Friday.
Hit us up on Facebook and Twitter.
Goodbye, motherfucker!
DV Radio.